gospel train is coming. Lord is coming around the bend. You know Jesus said he was coming. Oh, but he didn't. Well, you better get your heart in order. I know the Lord is coming again. Well, I tell you that nothing on
this train to lose.
Everything. Great God, you ought to come along, my friend. Come. Oh, you better get aboard. Yeah, and nothing on this train. Everything. Great God, you ought to come along, my friend. Come along. You better get aboard and ride. Nothing on, nothing on. Everything, everything to gain. Lord has said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The Lord will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. The Lord says, I'll be there. I'll be there. Whatever you need me, I'll be there. Amen. When we did wrong, he forgave us. When we were unworthy, he made us children of the Most High God. When we were the slaves of sin, he set us free. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. When our hearts were heavy, he gave us joy that came in the morning. When our minds were troubled, he gave us a peace that passes all understanding. When we needed a savior, he gave us one. Jesus came down through 42 generations to be our savior. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you say amen to that? Amen. God has given us a great and glorious Savior. We're happy to have those who are visiting with us today. It's good to see Tanya this morning, Justin's lovely mother with us this morning, and other guests. Sister Kidd has a beautiful young lady with her today, and we just want to say thank you to all of our guests this morning. Amen? Amen. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 11. And I like to begin reading at the 17th verse, commencing the reading at the 17th verse, ending at verse number 22. I'm going to ask you to please read these passages after me. Romans chapter 11, beginning at the 17th verse, ending at verse number 22. And if some of the branches be broken off, waiting on y'all, oh, amen. And thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root, and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. Please announce this subject with me. God in high definition. God. In high definition. Thank you for the reading of the Word of God by the people of God in the house of God. We're living in a wonderful time in terms of innovation and technology. And because we're living in such a wonderful time, our lives have moved to new and enjoyable levels. Innovations and technology are both breathtaking and mind-boggling. Because of innovation, we have smart bombs, smart phones, laptop computers, and high-definition television. Well, high-definition television hit the market in 1988, and movie buffs and sports fans and tech aficionados were pumped up. They got excited about high-definition television with the sharpness, the clearness, and the clarity of the picture combined with digital surround sound. They even said that when you watch high definition television, it was a television paradise because of the clarity and the sharpness. Amen. And they tell us that this is technology at its best, and you really hadn't watched television. You don't watch it in high definition. Well, the God that we worship and we serve is brought to us in high definition. The picture that the Bible presents of the God of God is not fuzzy, but it's clear. Amen. There's clarity, there's sharpness, there's clearness when it comes down to the picture of the only true and living God. And we need to see God in all of his high definition. One of the most important things we need to do is see God and know what God is all about. Because it was God that woke us up this morning. It was God who started us on our way. It was God who helped us to make it through the week. It was God who put clothes on our back. It was God who put shoes on our feet. It was God who put food on our table. It was God who put a smile on our face. It was God who put joy in our heart. It was God who saved our souls. Amen. And so we need to see him in high definition. So this morning, I want you to see three things. Number one, I want you to see, behold thine God. That's point number one. Behold thy God. Point number two is, behold his goodness. That's an encouragement. And point number three is, behold his severity. 3 points. Number one, behold thy God. Number two, behold his goodness. And number three, behold his severity. Now, when we look at the word behold, it is a very interesting and provocative word. The word behold means to fix your mind upon. The word behold means to see with attention. The word behold means to observe with care. It's a very important word, because one of the biggest problems in life is distraction. And distraction can affect us on a secular, everyday level, and it can affect us on a spiritual level. And this is why the Bible relentlessly challenges us to focus on the things that really matter. Because focus is the remedy for distraction. You ever been distracted while you were driving? You can mess around and hurt yourself or hurt somebody by being distracted. Now they tell you, don't text while you drive, but you ought to text while you live. What do you mean, Brother Moss? You ought to have the scripture in your mind while you live and go down the road of life. So text while you live, is that all right? But don't text while you drive, amen? So distraction is a problem in life, and behold helps us to deal with distraction. God said through Jeremiah the prophet, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Jeremiah is saying, don't glory in wisdom. Don't glory in physical strength. Don't glory in riches. Amen. And what he means by glory is that you come to think that wisdom and strength and riches is the source of your happiness. And we're finding out that that's not true, because rich folks are unhappy too. Folks on TV are unhappy. They can't hardly make it. I wish I had some help here. Because God is the source of all wisdom. He is the source of all physical strength and vitality. He is the source of all wealth and riches. Amen? When you think about wisdom, when we compare our wisdom to God, our best thinking, our best thoughts are reduced to foolishness when they are compared to the living God. Our physical strength is nothing when compared to God. And just because you have money, it won't stop you from dying. Money can't save you from death. Is that all right? The only person can save you from death is Almighty God. So we need to see God. I know you're busy. I know you got a full schedule. But during the week, you need to see God in high definition. Amen? Because there's a difference between, one thoughtful thinker said that we tend to create God in our own image. Yeah, we downsize God. And all of us face the danger of idolatry. And social scientists are telling us now that people tend to create a God of their own making. And sometimes you can't distinguish the God from the culture. It said that agricultural people tend to create a God of sun and rain. It said that ocean people tend to create a God of the ocean and the moon. And then Americans, who are so consumed by pleasure, create a God that let us be in charge, let us do what we want to do, is tolerant of our lifestyles, and his basic job is to just help us to succeed and reach our full potential. That's the danger of creating a God, and you don't see God in high definition. But divine revelation tells me that God is omnipotent. That means he's almighty. Divine revelation tells me that God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. Divine revelation tells me that God is omnipresent. Means he's everywhere present. And divine revelation tells me that God is omnicompetent. That means that God cannot fail. And whether you know it or not, before there was a Bible, there was a God. Want to say it again. Before there was a Bible, there was a God. The Bible didn't create God, but God created the Bible. Is that all right? God is the God of astronomy. God is the God of agricultural. God is the God of chemistry. God is the God of history. God is the God of music. God is the God of mathematics. God is the God of medicine. God is the God of pharmacology. God is the God of philosophy. God is the God of psychology. God is God all by himself. And I need to know, what is he like? The God with whom we have to do. I need to know what pleases him. Anybody interested in knowing what pleases God? You know, folks interested in knowing what pleased them, I don't like that. Well, there's some things God doesn't like. I need to know what angers him, what causes God to get angry? I need to know what displeases him. I need to see him in high definition. Amen? Well, let's move to the second idea. Behold his goodness. That is, focus your eyes on his goodness. Give your eyes, give an attentive view of his goodness. Observe his goodness with care. God been good to you? Don't we need knowledge of God? Proverbs 2 and verse 5 says, and then you shall understand the fear of the Lord. You shall find the knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake and arise to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. This I speak to your shame. Colossians chapter 1 verses 9 and 10 says, being filled with all spiritual understanding and wisdom, that you may increase in your knowledge of God. And 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. I need to grow in my understanding of God. Grow in my knowledge of God. Grow in my conceptualization of God. I need to see God in high definition. Amen? Is God good? He's good, isn't he? Behold his goodness. Psalms 100, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures unto all. I said unto all generations. Ain't God good? God has given us richly all things to enjoy. Behold his goodness. This is the day. This is August the 24th, 2014. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be. Behold his goodness. God, you gave me another day. Behold his goodness. James 1:17 said, every good gift and every perfect gift come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Behold his goodness. He causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust, and his sun to shine on the good and the evil. Behold his goodness. Psalms 34:8 say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Behold his goodness. Look at how good he is. Christ died on the cross for our sins. Behold his goodness. Christ died that I might become the righteousness of God. Behold his goodness. Christ died that I might be rich. Behold his goodness. Christ died that I might be redeemed. Behold, look at his goodness. And we have something waiting for us in heaven that's indescribable. Behold his goodness. Look at his goodness. Look at his goodness. Let's see him in high definition. Amen. The love of God is a manifestation and a demonstration of his goodness. Because some people love you when you're up, but won't love you when you're down. Some people love you when you're right, but won't love you when you're wrong. Some people will love you when you're popular. Oh, I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. But won't love you when you're unpopular. But don't you know that I need loving the most when I'm at my worst? Did y'all hear what I said? I need loving the most when I'm down and out. I need loving the most when life done took a 2x4 and hit me side my head. Is that all right? But God loves me when I'm down. I was down and he was loving me. Is that all right? You were down and God was loving you, weren't you? You find out who your real friends are, you get broke. You mess around here and get broke, and you go to asking somebody to lend you some money and they know you broke. I knew a guy one time, he was down and out, and he asked the guy to lend him some money, and he lent it Yvonne, and then finally the table turned. He went back to the guy and asked the guy to lend him some money. And the first thing out of his mouth, how you going to pay me back? Well. But you didn't say that when the script was flipped. Yeah. I need loving the most when I'm down. Now, I want you to see that God was good to the Jewish people. Now in Romans chapter 11, Paul is dealing with the Jewish question. And whether we recognize it or not, we owe a lot to the Jews. We owe a lot to the Jews. I want to talk a little bit more about that. We owe a great debt to the Jewish people. Amen. But I want to show you that God, look at Romans 11, 22. It says, behold, therefore, the goodness, and goodness here means that the willingness to bestow benefits. I want you to keep that definition in mind because I'm going somewhere with that. Goodness here means the readiness and the willingness to bestow benefits. I want you to look at that clearly, sharply, distinctly in high definition. God chose the Jews to be his special people out of all the people of the earth. They were a special treasure unto God. Now, goodness means the willingness to bestow benefits. And all of us can say God has been good to me because God has bestowed benefits on my life. I'm alive today. That's a pretty good benefit. Amen. Amen. I have a degree of health and strength today. That's a pretty good benefit. My name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. That's a pretty good benefit. And God loved them with a special love because he swore with an oath to their fathers. He made a special promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The Jews had all kind of spiritual advantages, Brother West, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. They were the keepers. They were the custodians of divine revelation. No nation on earth had a special revelation from God, and they were in covenant relationship with God. Jesus told the woman at Jacob's well that salvation came through the Jews. The gospel was to the Jew first. Did y'all get that? And also to the Greek. God preached the gospel to the Jew first. God was good to the Jews. He bestowed benefits. God's been good to me. He's bestowed benefits on my life. Anytime you get in your car and you go without hurt or harm, that's a benefit. And God bestowed it on you. I think Brother Ronald Taylor prayed that nobody broke in on us last night and killed us. That's a benefit. The way these folks shoot now is a benefit. You don't get shot. Praise God. So God bestows benefits. God's been good to you. God's been good to me. But here's my final point. Behold his severity. Now, some people only want to look at one dimension of God. Got a lot of Christians. Look at one dimension of God. But you got to see God in high definition. Some people only want to talk about the love of God. And I like to talk about the love of God, but that ain't all. Some people only want to talk about the goodness of God. And that's a wonderful thing. Amen. But we need to see God holistically in all of his dimensions. Amen. Because the text says, Angie, it says, behold the goodness and what? Severity of God. Now write this definition down. I want you to put these side by side because I want you to see this. Good. Goodness means the disposition to bestow benefits. Severity literally means a cutting off. The same God that blesses us with benefits also will cut you off, will cut me off. And I need to see God in high definition so that as I live my life, I won't wind up on the wrong side of God. I need to know what pleases him. I need to know what displeases him. I need to know what angers him. I need to see him in high definition. Now, the text says, Romans, y'all still got your Bibles? Y'all still there? Let's look at it. The text says in Romans 11, 22. Now, I want to talk about the severity. God was severe to the Jews. Did you know God cut the Jews off? He bestowed benefits on them, Brother Wyatt. But he also cut them off. Is that right? He also cut them off. Romans 11, 22. Now, why did God cut them off? Let's see what the Bible says. They were his chosen people, is that right? Out of all the people of the earth, Sister Smith, the Jews were the chosen people of God. The gospel was to them first. But verse 22 says what? Read it.
Behold, therefore.
Behold, that is, fix your eyes on the severity of God. Focus with attention on the severity of God. Observe with care the severity of God. Behold,
therefore,
the goodness
and severity
of God. Look at God in his total dimension. Don't just look at his goodness. You ought to look at it. Don't just look at his love. You ought to look at it. But also look at his severity. The story is told of a rich family had a little boy. And they loved him and they pampered him, but they didn't teach him about danger. And one day, that little boy, not knowing about danger in the world, wandered out in the street somehow. The nanny lost track of him. And that little boy wandered out in the street and was killed by a cop. Because all he knew was the safe haven. And his parents really didn't equip that child. Your child might want to play in the street, but it ain't a good idea. Amen. So we have to look at God in all of his dimensions. He was good to the Jew. He's been good to you. If you live one more day, that's a benefit. I'm sometimes just amazed he let me see 60 the way I done cut up. You hear that, Maddie? I call Maddie, cause Maddie know me. Say amen, Maddie. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. So he's been good to me. Amen. Now the question is, why did God cut off the Jews? Severity means cut off. Goodness means he bestows benefits. And that's something happening every day. Read it, my brother.
But On them which fail severity.
On them which fail severity.
But toward thee.
But toward you.
Goodness. If thou continue.
If you continue.
In his goodness.
Now verse 20 will explain to us why God cut the Jews off. Read it.
Well, because of unbelief.
Because of unbelief.
They were broken off.
They were broken off. Now watch this. The olive tree is an analogy to explain a right relationship with God. So the olive tree stands for salvation. The natural branches are the Jewish people. The wild olive tree represents the nations or the Gentile. God broke off the natural branches. Why did he break them off? Because of unbelief. Acts 13:46. Get that for me, and then come back to Romans. We're gonna have to hurry. Acts 13:46. Watch this. Watch this. Acts 13:46. Watch this. Watch this.
Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said
it was necessary
that the
word of God
should first have been spoken
to you
but seeing
you put it from you
and judge yourselves
unworthy
of everlasting life
lo we turn
to the Gentiles.
So God gave it to the Jews, Sister Sperling, but the Jews didn't believe it. God said, now take it to the nations. And he broke off the natural branches. He cut them off. And God will cut me off because there is no respect of person with God. God don't care nothing about how much education you got, where you live at, how much money. That don't mean a thing to God. Is that all right? A rich man had most of it he could even store. And God cut him off. That's what severity means, that cutting off. Goodness means the willingness to bestow benefits. I need to see both sides of God so I won't wind up on the wrong side of God by my behavior. Is that all right? Now watch this. Now the Gentile got the wrong idea. They said that God had broken off the natural branches to graft us in, and they thought they were better than the Jews. They thought they were better than the Jews. It's a mistake for anybody in the church to think you better than anybody else in the church. Hello? And Paul said, this is high-minded. But God resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Sixth thing God hates, yea, seventh thing, and one of those things is a proud look. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He said, don't be high-minded. In other words, the Jews brought salvation to you. You now participate in the root and the fatness that is in the benefits of the blessings of God. And I'm so blessed this morning to be a New Testament Christian. I don't know what, I wouldn't be nothing else but a New Testament Christian. You hear me? That's all I want to be, is a New Testament Christian. Because I want to be a part of that olive tree. And God has grafted me in. And he grafted you in. He grafted me in because we stand by faith. But if I fall into unbelief, he will cut me off. Is that all right? So he says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. Well, let's look at his severity. God drowned the whole world except for 8 people. Behold his severity. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't let nobody fool you for homosexuality. Behold the severity of God. Is that all right? God destroyed Pharaoh. Yeah. He drowned Pharaoh and his whole army in the Red Sea. Yeah. behold his severity. Is that all right? God killed Ananias and Sapphira for lying to him. Behold his severity. Is that all right? God deals severely with high-minded folks. Don't get too high, because God will surely bring you down. Behold his severity. When God allowed his son to be crucified on the cross, he was punishing sin. Behold his severity. Is that all right? People who've been saved, who've gone back to a life of sin and disobedience, behold his severity. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Behold his severity. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Behold his severity. Look at both sides of it. And my only escape is stay in God's mercy. Did you hear me, church? Stay in God's mercy. Read verse 22 for me again, and we're going to conclude.
Behold, therefore.
Behold, therefore.
The goodness.
How many can see his goodness? Has he blessed you? Do you know when your baby was born? You had an all right pregnancy. That was God's goodness. Any birth of any precious child is a blessing from God. You got your job. That was his goodness. You found somebody to love you. And you stop singing Luther's song, "She Won't Talk to Me." Amen. You got a job. You worked on a job and you retire. That's a benefit. And not only did you retire, Lord, he give you years and health and you can enjoy your retirement. Or you can travel. Ain't that a blessing? Huh? You went to school, got your degree. And I don't take for granted, I'm blessed to be the minister of this church. Are y'all listening? Oh, God been good to me, amen. But I also understand, not only do I need to see his goodness
and severity of God.
And severity of God. Come on.
On them which fell severity.
On them. How many can say this morning, God been good to me? How many can say this morning, I don't want him to cut me off? Is that all right? And so the only way he doesn't cut me off, Sister Maniel, I stay in his goodness. What is that, preacher?
But toward thee, goodness.
But toward thee, goodness.
If thou continue in his goodness.
If thou, you see, God didn't spare the natural branches. Some of the Jews thought because they were Abraham's seed, God cut them off. Amen. He cut them off because of unbelief. He'll cut me off. Amen. My only hope is live a life of humble and obedient faith. Yes, sir. Stay with the church. Be faithful. Amen. Be faithful. Running around doing your thing, ignoring God. God will cut you off. Huh? A lot of people get killed on accident. The bullet gets shot, didn't really wasn't intended for you, but you got it. Hello? Brother Ronald Taylor prayed. We got a mess over here. The president, we need to pray for the president, because ISIS is a threat to all of us. Them folks out their mind. They said they're gonna, if you don't convert to Islam, well, I say this, I ain't converted. And I ain't gonna just let you cut my head off without a fight either. Right. I'm telling you that straight up. You hear me, why? I'm gonna fight you. prayed, and I ain't gonna let you hurt none of my folks if I can help it. Y'all better come on talk to me. Amen. I mean, the way they cut that boy head off was just, oh my goodness, I don't have words to describe. That's the level of what you're dealing with. That's why I know more and more I need to stay in the love of God. That's why I know more and more I need the protection of God on my life every day. I need God's protection when I leave out my door. And I need God's protection when I come back to my door and I'm inside my own house, lest somebody who's lawless, don't fear God, don't fear man, don't care about somebody, knock my door down and I have to do something I don't want to do. Are y'all listening to what I'm talking about? I'm talking about staying in the goodness of God. Now let me give you six things you were made for, and I'm going to quit. Let me give you six things God created you for. Can I give you six things God created you for? I want to give you six things God created you for. I want you to write these six things down, and this lesson will conclude. Number one, God made you to know. He made you to know. Number two, God made you to grow. Amen. Made you to know, he made you to grow. Number three, God made you to learn. Amen. Number four, God made you to overcome. There will be obstacles in your way, but you made to overcome them. Number five, God made you to become. Not only to overcome, he made you to become. Amen. I ain't what I ought to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. And number six, God made you to transform. Is that all right? Now, when you understand these six concepts and you see God in high definition, it will help you to know. It'll help you to grow. It'll help you to learn. It'll help you to overcome. It'll help you to become. It'll help you to transform. Amen? And every one of us in here should be able to relate to this lesson. Because your very existence at this moment in time is a benefit from God. You could have been in the obituary column. I could have been in there. Amen? Amen? I talked to Sister Cupcake. 80 years young and still going strong. Ain't she a mess, y'all? And she thanked God for all of his benefits. Did anybody thank God this morning for all his benefits? Allow me to be here this morning. I pray for my children. They on the highway. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I have to fuss at them, Daddy, you just don't understand. But that just, I just love you so much. Is that all right? Because I want God to bestow what? Benefits. And you know, when you really think about how good the Lord been to you, it make you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. Because God been so good, why? Well, Paul in that same chapter that wide read, Romans chapter 11, Sister Jackie, he got so excited about God's goodness. He said he'd go out into a song of praise. You know, sometime when the Lord been so good to you, you gotta go out into a song of praise. Y'all know the story about the lady who was shouting all over the church. And somebody didn't like her shouting, you just shout too much. This is a dignified church. But sometime when the Lord been good to you, when the Lord done brought you a mighty long way, when the Lord done made your rough places smooth, is that all right? And your crooked places straight, you got to shout, is that all right? Well, they said one of the deacons came down and told her, now, sister, you're going to have to curtail all this shouting. You're shouting too much in this church. And she was down there plowing with an old mule. And they said that. She said, well, deacon, when I think about Brother Sperling, how good God been to me, none of my children in jail. I just want to praise him. I'm 80 years old. I'm still running behind this mule. And I just want to praise him. All my bills paid, and I just want to praise him. Matter of fact, deacon, hold my mute. I think I'm going to shout right now. Is that all right? Oh, when God been good to you, oh, it makes you want to praise him. Oh, I praise him every day of my life. I wake up this morning and say, thank you, Lord, for another day's journey. Is that all right? Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You know what I'm saying, preacher? For who have known the mind of the Lord? Who have been his counselor? Who have first given unto him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and to him and through him are all things. And I just want to praise you, Lord, because you've been so good to me. Is that all right? Well, David got excited about God one day when he was praying before Israel. He said, oh, God, great is your magnificent name. Is that all right? In your hand is greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty, and in your hand is power and might. Is that all right? And oh God, you make great, you give strength unto all. And I just want to praise your name. Is that all right? Because he's an on-time God. He's a problem-solving God. He's a redeeming God. He's a rescuing God. To whom can we compare him? Who is he like? Is that all right? But if you really want to see him in high definition, you ought to look to Jesus. Is that all right? But John said, in the beginning was the Word wide, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Is that all right? And then he said, and the Word, what? Became flesh and dwelt among us. So I can see him in high definition, and we beheld high definition his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeah, he came from heaven's adoration to earth's agony. He came from heaven's coronation to earth's condemnation. He came from heaven's exaltation to earth's humiliation. So how this morning, Sister Yvonne, do I spell relief? I spell it Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Is that all right? How this morning do I spell joy? I spell it J-E-S-U-S. How this morning do I spell celebration? I spell it Jesus. How do I spell exhilaration? I spell it Jesus. How do I spell salvation? I spell it Jesus. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Can you say so this morning? Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. You know, it's 2 days, 2 Sundays in a row. I feel all right. Man, I'm feeling good every Sunday. I don't know what done got in me, Wyatt. Praise God, is that all right? Because God is good, bro. Is that all right? He's good, bro Harris. You know he's good, and niece, you know he's good. I better look at you good and long today, because you about to leave me. I know you ain't want me to say it. Well, she about gone now. Yeah, she about gone, but we better love her while we got her. Amen. Let's give her a big hand, everybody. Yeah. Yeah, you know she ain't nothing but a blessing herself. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I said she ain't nothing but a blessing herself. Amen. Can y'all say amen to that? Amen. Say it like you mean it. Amen. Oh, when I see sister, I see the goodness of God. Can you say amen to that? Because she's been good. Y'all stand on your feet. Boy, it's a beautiful day today, ain't it? Amen. Ain't you glad to be here? Amen. Didn't God bless you to be here? Amen. You didn't get here by yourself, did you? Who blessed you? The Lord blessed you. Is that all right? And you ought to be willing to give him some thanks. Aren't you? Because I sure don't want him to cut me off. So I'm going to continue by humility and obedient faith. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. How many can say amen to that? Amen. I'm going to keep on serving the Lord till I die. How many can say amen to that? Amen. I'm going to serve God till I die. Is that all right? Amen? Amen. Well, you can become a Christian this morning by hearing the gospel. Thank you, Brother Wes. Believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized. And if you are a child of God and you walked away, don't stay in sin, because God is angry with the wicked every day. Did you know that? Did you know if you're living in sin, God is angry with you every day? Did you know that? Oh, y'all don't. Psalm 7:11. I was through, but since y'all don't believe it, I got to read it. Heard, Brother Wyatt, Psalm 7:11. You coming to give your life to Christ? Have mercy. Ain't that a mess? Amen. Sit down there, brother. Yeah. You want God to bestow his goodness on you, don't you? He said, yes, sir. What'd that say, Wyatt?
Psalm 7:11.
Listen to it.
God judges the righteous.
Uh-huh.
And God is angry.
As angry.
With the wicked.
With the wicked.
Every day.
On the weekend.
Every day.
Sometimes.
Every day.
Every 2 weeks.
Every day.
Every other month.
Every day.
Sometimes.
Every day.
God is angry.
With the wicked.
With the wicked.
Every day.
Every day. You don't want God mad with you, do you? Ain't that something to think about? Isn't that something to think about? That he's angry with the wicked every day. Amen. Amen. But if you walk with him, we thank God for Justin. This is a blessing right here. This is the power of God right here. Amen. And so you can say, I am going on with Jesus just the same.
Just the same.
Well, I am
going on with Jesus
just the same.
Just the same.
Well, you may talk. Oh, you